Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 9, Day 5. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 19, 28 through 42. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 9. Welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining me today. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks. I'm serious about this. You really will benefit from the repetition. You'll be amazed at how much more you retain and understand and know from just reading it over and over and over again. Before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? Would you bless us as we know you more? We don't want to know more about you, God. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is John 19, verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know 100% of the significance of why this happened, why Jesus chose that the last thing on earth that he was going to do with his original earthly body was have a drink. I find it especially cruel that they gave Jesus vinegar to drink. He says, "I'm thirsty." I mean, he's already suffering and dying. And here they give him vinegar to drink. I mean, that just seems cruel to me. But what I find amazing about it is that this is intentional. John is saying, and I don't know, this begs the question, did Jesus explain this to them in one of their encounters after he was resurrected? How did John know this exactly? But John tells us that Jesus knows that it's over. This is it. And so before Jesus breathes his last and gives up his spirit, as he tells us here, Jesus has one last request as a human with his original earthly body, and that's he wants to drink something. Now, if Jesus knows he's about to die, he's about to give up his spirit and pass away, why does he need something to drink? Why not just go ahead and die? Why not just say it is finished and be done? But he asked for one last thing. And I don't know if this is why Jesus did it, but it causes me to wonder. Jesus, again, as John explains to us in the book, was there at creation. When God said he created man and saw that it was good, when he created everything, he said, "It was good." That was Jesus saying, "It is good." This body that he's taken on as human, he's taken on human flesh here. He's taken on this broken, fallible human flesh. Yet he said that flesh, for all of our problems, for everything that we go through as humans, sickness and weakness and tiredness and hunger and thirst, for all of the deficiencies that our bodies experience, that we all are familiar with, when God created us, he said, "It was good." This body that he gave us is good. And again, I don't know for sure if this is exactly what's going on, but I just wonder. This Jesus that created these bodies, did he want to taste one last thing? I mean, it didn't even matter what it was. He just wanted to experience a sensation of taste one last time with the body that from the beginning he said was good. Did he want one more taste of anything, even vinegar? I mean, he had to have known what they were going to give him. He's God. Remember, he's God. He knows what's going to happen here. But he just wanted to experience that one more time, his taste buds. the way God made us, our senses, our emotions, everything about us that God made with these original earthly bodies, he said it was good. Many times people think that heaven is going to be an experience that's completely other than what we experience now. And the Bible testifies quite to the contrary over and over. Throughout Old Testament, New Testament, Revelation, the Bible testifies that eternity will be a completely better than experience. The senses, the emotions you have, you're going to have them forever, but they're going to be in a glorified body. And I just wonder, did Jesus wait to say it is finished until he had tasted one last time with these taste buds that he created from the beginning? He gave Adam those taste buds. And he wanted to taste one last time as the last Adam with those taste buds. He wanted to feel a human feeling, a human experience, one last time before he gained his resurrected body. I find it fascinating. What he gave us, this life, it really is precious. It really is amazing, and it really is good. It won't compare to what we have in eternity. But what we have now really is good. Verse 31, now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies to be left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture said, they will look on the one they have pierced. Now, this is significant because when the command for the sacrificial lamb was given, it was that it couldn't have its legs broken. It couldn't have anything broken. It needed to be pure and spotless. And here we see Jesus fulfilling that. He's spotless, unbroken, as the sacrificial lamb was to be. And he was pierced. His sides were pierced. His hands, his feet were pierced. Verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now I want you to think about this. We know Nicodemus from earlier. Nicodemus is the recipient of the John 3:16 message. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. So this whole part here, and it looks like Joseph of Arimathea might have been a part of the Sanhedrin as well. Up until now, they've been following Jesus secretly and at night, and here now that Jesus is dead, openly they go and they take his body. So this is probably very costly for them. They're out after this. They're out of the club at this point, would be my assumption. But think about this moment here. For all of human history, for all of eternity, God is alive. He is the great I am. He always was, he is, and he always will be. But for this brief moment, for less than 72 hours, God made flesh, lay dead and lifeless. And these two men, for all of eternity, are the only two that ever handled Jesus' lifeless body. What a privilege. What an amazing privilege from the beginning of creation to the end, endless eternity. These two men will be the only ones who will have ever laid hands on the lifeless body of God made flesh. No one in all of eternity will ever be able to say that but these two men. What a privilege. And I'm sure it cost them. Part of the significance that them laying Jesus in a new tomb was, you know, that there's no confusing who came out of the tomb. In every way, Jesus was this pure and spotless lamb. And this tomb had been undefiled by any other bodies. He was the first one to be laid there. And he was the first one to come out of it. His was the only body ever laid in this up to this point. And so there was no confusion about who came out. This passage is sobering. It's sad. And it's magnificent in a way. Because of what has happened here, our sins are forever forgiven. Because of what happens in the next chapter, we'll live forever with God. I'll leave you with that. Thanks for joining me today. As always, I'd love it if you leave me a review on iTunes, and I'd love to hear from people on my Facebook page. I've been your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back next week with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.